this blowjob derangement syndrome, does this extend to them like being like, look, man, I have to taste that Keith sperm. Does it go, I mean, are they upset if they can't swallow your cum?
I don't think I've seen like a spitter since high school or something. Hello and welcome to Your Mileage May Vary. We talk about sex and relationships with frankness that is often controversial, but mostly in good faith. I'm looking forward to a few of our topics today, including a man who isn't doing his part to keep his partner satisfied, a discussion about how to initiate blowjobs, a description of what vaginas feel like, and more. I am Keith. My co-host is Mike. And we somehow messed up the audio again last week, although this time I guess it was my fault.
We got yelled at.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't great. Yeah. The problem was we were physically in the same space, and so we were using an omnidirectional microphone. And also, we were in that little nook in my apartment, and so maybe that made it sound a little bit echoey. But I still don't even really know what we did wrong. We were sitting equidistant from the microphone, and you sounded softer than me.
Yeah, it was strange. Right. You sound like you're, anyway, nobody cares, but you sounded like you were on a normal microphone and I sounded really quiet. Don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah. I have like a bunch of like banter to talk about today.
Let's go.
I guess the first and like most serious one is the last few episodes we've spent a lot of time talking about our mental healths. And
oh, good.
Particularly that both of us have been struggling a little bit lately. Do you think that our frankness in talking about that is jarring for people? Like, do you think people hear us talking and worry about us at all?
No, I don't think they care. I'm like pretty confident nobody cares. Yeah.
So should we? I feel like it makes somewhat interesting talk about a somewhat interesting subject to talk about because we do talk about it with a candidness that I think is unusual.
Sure.
But
yeah, there was somebody I was telling recently, because this is like some form of this is often the way, a way to diffuse. Well, it's like when people are, have a fear of public speaking, that's the one that where this came up recently or relatively recently for me. I was trying to tell a person, look, nobody cares what you say. And for me, that's like, useful. And it's all, I recognize it as true. They're like people, it's not that they don't care at all. They mostly don't care. But this person actually found that like irritating. They did not find that helpful as a thing to say. And they're like,
oh,
yeah,
the
everybody
notion
says
that nothing you say is really that important. You're sort of catastrophizing for no reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that, people who, I guess when people are afraid of public speaking, they're afraid. Well, what is the implicit fear there? There's some like fear that like everybody's going to make fun of them or like it's some social fear. And in fact, it's not well grounded because people are much more indexing on themselves than other people most of the time. In fact, basically all the time. But that was surprisingly unhelpful for this person. So I was like, oh, sorry. Sorry for not helping.
I would expect that to be helpful in the context of getting over their fear of public speaking, but unhelpful in the context of enjoying their life. Like the reality that you aren't that important to other people in the world is something that isn't fun to face down, but it is the reality.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that's true. It's okay, but so let's...
Yeah, all right. So on the topic of my mental health, think I only left the house once over like the last 5 days. Well, twice, because I did something very healthy and helpful today. But before today, I think I had like a 5-day streak of basically being a recluse hermit.
And this was not because you were watching the stream on YouTube that this guy has of where he live streams. I don't even know. I think he like finds people TikToking it and he live streams every concert in the Eras tour by Taylor Swift. You were not doing that.
God. No, yes. I wasn't.
He's this Asian fellow, and he's just, it's pretty impressive. He's there.
He live streams himself, live streaming, watching live streams of the concerts.
Yeah, that's right. And like sometimes like the live stream will cut out, which I assume is because, you know, whoever's got it on their phone dies or they lose signal and he'll quickly switch to another one.
My word.
So you were not doing that?
No.
I'm sure he's doing it right now. If you give me a sec, I can tell you. I think she's in Finland or Norway or something.
I know she's in Europe because a friend of mine posted on Strava that she was at the Eras tour in Paris, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah. He live streamed all four of those concerts.
There were four in Paris?
Yeah, that's right.
How many were there in LA? I thought just two.
Here he is, Stockholm night one.
Night one.
Here he is. He's got this. So we're
is
on
it
the
currently going on? I mean,
now.
It's afternoon right now in California. Is there?
She's wearing a lovely red, sort of maroon dress.
That's great.
Anyway, so you were not doing that. What were you doing?
I wasn't doing much. I mean, I
You were playing video games, masturbating.
Well, I conceded last week that I had downloaded these mobile games that had almost like a pyramid scheme like addiction mechanic, and I did uninstall all of those, so that was a good start. But I'm playing other video games, and I've been watching the top 200 romantic comedies of all time according to Rotten Tomatoes. So
200, you know, that's
of course
of
takes some time. Yeah.
Okay.
And what else did I do? Yeah, some masturbating, of course. Gotta keep the prostate healthy.
Do you do you have enough food for this? Like, do you run out of food?
Yes, I do, but well, first I have some food in the house.
Right.
I can't remember if I shared this on the podcast, but I was trying to buy pancake batter, and I was on Amazon, and you know, you can search by price per ounce or whatever. And I got whatever the lowest price per ounce was for pancake mix. And I wasn't paying attention to the volume. And I got like a 10 pound, like a box of like 10 different 1 pound boxes of pancake mix. So I've been slowly working my way through that. But of course, you can't eat that for every meal. Well, actually, you can, but
you could.
I can and have, but you know, variety is the spice of life. You need a little something else. But yeah, there's these services.
Do you get food delivered?
Like, yes. DoorDash, Instacart.
That's interesting. So I wonder if alongside things like TikTok, Instagram Reels, which have their effects on mental health, I wonder if all these delivery services have an effect too, because basically they enable people to just sit in bed for weeks on end if they want. That was the other thing I was going to ask is like, do you go around your apartment or do you just sit in bed? Like how close are you to the legendary Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys who like lay in bed for like 2 years or whatever it was?
Yeah, I know some people when they get into the, you know, the very troughs of depression, they'll sort of
3 years
curl up in the fetal position and they basically can't get out of bed.
Right.
I can get out of bed. You sort of have to do that in order to
go to the bathroom.
Go to the bathroom, interface with my computer so I can play video games. I've been coding a side project, so I spent some time on that. And I did go grocery shopping twice, but the grocery store is less than a block away, so that barely counts as leaving the house.
Okay.
But I don't know. I went for a run today. I ran 16 miles and obviously, that always helps me feel better. But yeah, it's crazy. Like last week, I ran 60 miles. And this week, it's Friday. And so far, I've run just the 16. Everyone knows that exercise helps with depression. I feel much better today than I did. Even just a few hours ago. And I expect this to sort of have some momentum that carries forward into future days. And I have plans this evening, so I'm going to go hang out with a friend. So, hopefully things are on the upswing here. My sister suggested that I should consider an antidepressant, but I've always been loath to do that. I don't think I'm there yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. I just don't want to change. I like the way my brain works for the most part. It's been sort of annoying the last couple of weeks, ever since my marathon. There's been this like post-marathon come down. But I've always dug out of it before, and I'm sure I will here. And so sure. I would rather not depend on a SSRI or benzo or whatever.
Well, the SSRI these days. Here. Yeah. Okay. What's your other, what are your other topics? What I found under my bed.
Do you remember when I was dating Alyssa, we found these like masturbation toys called Tenga eggs?
Yes.
I found those this week. I came across them because I only tried it once. And I tried it again this week. And it was much better than I remember last time. Like, it was a pretty materially compelling experience. It's strange. It definitely feels much more like a real vagina than using my hand for masturbating.
Now, I forget if it has lubricant in it, or do you have to like...
Comes with lubricant. So it's a one-time use thing. You're meant to throw it away after one use.
Oh, that's sort of too bad. How much do they cost then?
Tenga egg. They sell them in six packs. I was on the website this week. Let's see here. A six
something
pack,
compelling about that. Yeah.
A six pack 30 is bucks. It's $30. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's something compelling about that because you guys are not necessarily going to want to.
Yeah. The cleanup of men's sex toys can't be that great.
Right.
But yeah, I just wanted to flag it that it was more satisfying than I remembered it being. Not so much like, my intuition was that you could imagine a male sex toy that is so good that you basically never want to masturbate without it again. Sort of like how I think women are with vibrators. Like, they basically get to a point where they can't imagine masturbating without it. But so far, I haven't found a male sex toy that's like that for me. I liked it. It was a different experience, maybe better in some ways, but not good enough that I think I'm going to go through the trouble.
Yeah, I'm watching a man use one on Pornhub here, and it looks like it's, in some ways, it looks like kind of a replacement foreskin.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a good analogy.
And there's some kind of lubrication inside of it, I take it?
Yeah, it comes with like a lube packet that you can put on your, that you just put inside.
And it's not, he finished and now he's squeezing out the nut all over his cock. Like, don't.
Yeah, I did not do that.
Why didn't you do that?
A normal man, I sort of sheepishly and embarrassingly just take it off my cock and then throw it into the trash.
Seems like you could make one that's like flushable. That'd be nice. Like maybe made of something that biodegrades.
Yeah, I haven't had any company this week, but if I did, this is the kind of thing you don't want to be sitting on the top of your trash can. What is this?
I don't think most women, I think the vast majority of women would not know what this was.
What's that Seinfeld episode where he eats the eclair out of the trash?
Right. George does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this woman's... Yeah, okay. So the egg... It's like a condom on some level, right? It's not open on both ends, but somehow air doesn't get caught in it.
I was sort of surprised, like when I jizzed in it, I thought that it might come like squirting out the bottom of it or something, but it didn't. I don't quite understand the physics.
It contained it.
Yeah.
And then you did use the lube packet?
I did, yeah.
So how much cleanup was required beyond just putting this thing in the trash?
Well, you sort of have the lube and probably a bit of your semen around the shaft of your cock. So I just used a moist paper towel to clean up.
Okay. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So how many do you have left?
I have one left. So I had two of the standard Tenga eggs, and then they have something called like a mega Tenga or something.
All right.
Let me see if I can see it on their website.
So you still have that one. That's probably reusable, right?
Oh yeah, it's called a vacuum cup. And I haven't used it yet, so I can't speak to its effectiveness.
I searched for vacuum cup and I just got like, you know, things for drinking coffee out of.
Here, I'll.
But okay.
I just pasted you the link and you can include it in the show notes so that the listeners can see it.
So it's redesigned for the next level of pleasure. Okay, this looks reusable.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, if I get to it this week, I'll give a full report next.
Okay.
But I can't imagine it being materially better than the other Tenga. But maybe. We'll see.
The ease of cleanup for the other one seems like a pretty significant positive.
Yeah, but $5 is kind of a lot to masturbate. And with shipping, it probably ends up being $6.50 or something.
It's true. Yeah. I appreciate that Amazon appears to have it like next day. In fact, I think I could get same day. Maybe I'll order some.
Remember when Amazon had same day delivery for a while? What happened?
They do.
That?
No, they still do.
Okay. I haven't noticed that recently.
No, it's tomorrow. I can get it tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That was my bad.
Before the pandemic, there was some service. I don't remember what they called it, but they had like a warehouse in San Francisco. And
like Tenga Incorporated.
No.
It wasn't just
Amazon.
Tenga eggs?
No, it was Amazon. It was Amazon.
Oh, okay.
And they had a limited number of stuff, but you know, you can imagine they identify like the top 300 things that people order, and that's probably 80% of their sales volume. And if they could keep those in a factory and be able to, you know, same day drop ship, you can imagine that having that being good for their revenue. But yeah, I don't think they do that anymore, or at least I haven't noticed it since the pandemic. Anyway,
too spendy. Okay.
I had one other thing I wanted to talk about, which is. Did you see the ChatGPT 4.0 demo?
I did. The one where you could, they had it carry on an actual conversation. It seemed like it somehow was linked up with a voice recognition system. That's what you mean? Yes.
Yeah.
And I now have, as a customer, I now have access to it, although.
It's free.
4.0 is free?
4.0 is free. So for the first time, a lot of people are getting access to ChatGPT 4. ChatGPT 4 used to only be available for paying customers, but 4.0 is available for
everyone. Why am I paying then?
I don't know.
Because I'm stupid?
I need to understand that. I'm not sure.
I just assumed it was rolled out to paying people, but okay. It seemed faster, meaning it gives faster responses than
Yes, than but the did original. Did you notice that... whenever it responded, it would basically buy itself some time. I think the guy's name was Ricky. So it would be like, ha, 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 oh, Ricky. And then it would like give its response. And I think it's because it was using that. I think it had basically some clever techniques to stall for time.
Makes sense.
Humans probably do that in their conversation.
Sure.
Or if they just start speaking, sometimes they get halfway into a sentence before they realize that the way that they started it probably isn't the way they would have started it if they knew what they were going to say before they started it.
Yeah. You stall basically. That's right.
Or sometimes you'll like start talking. You'll be like, oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say. Let me change what I'm saying now based on. So anyway, yeah, it's not crazy that that's the way that a system that seemed natural would behave. Anyway, the thing I wanted to bring up was a lot of people complained or pointed out that the voice that ChatGPT used was quite flirty. And
I noticed that. Yes. I liked that part. People were complaining about that?
I don't know, but maybe, okay. Well, that's interesting that that was your impression too. My take was that it wasn't that flirty. It was a human female talking politely, but is that flirting? Like, I don't know. I thought it was
kind of because it was laughing and stuff like that. So yeah, I think there's a flirtatious dimension to that kind of conversation.
Huh. Yeah, I guess. In some ways, I felt a little bit. It's like, yeah, like if a woman wears here, this might be a good analogy for you because I know what you think of this. If a woman wears yoga pants, all men assume that, you know, she's wearing that on purpose. And many women will claim like, what? No, I just wear it because it's comfortable. And I think a woman might say like, oh, I just talk like that because that's the way I talk. I'm not flirting. And so, yeah, there's some sort of complex line there.
Yeah, I mean, they can say that, I'm sure this is something that's been studied, that there are different registers of female voice depending on,
well,
you know, who's being interacted with.
It sounds more natural. And the voice they chose sounded like she was 25 or something, or maybe 30. Mm-hmm. And it because it sounds more natural, it sounds more human-like, I think it comes off as, like, Alexa and Siri and the Google Assistant don't sound like that because they're sort of, I'm not sure if it's because they're engineered not to, but it's because they're not as sophisticated in the way they speak. And if you make a woman sound like a woman and they're being friendly, does that, I don't know.
Maybe it makes sense to me that it makes sense to me that an AI that could convincingly be sort of flirty would be more successful with men. So I'm confident that's the direction that will go.
Yeah. I mean, everybody brought up that movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah, I mean, we're there, right? Like, we're the thing where you can talk to a compelling human female that will be nice to you and care about what you're saying is here. And right. If you don't think it's here yet, it'll be here in 6 months. So sort of have to like wrestle with that reality now, which is.
Yeah. And then the obvious next steps will be adding in video. I mean, it'll be some time before it's, you know, a robot or whatever, but adding in video where it appears to be whatever, you know, busty, buxom, whatever you're interested in. That's fairly straightforward to add that in too.
Yeah, I mean, ChatGPT has all kinds of governors and guardrails to stop people from using it for porn or anything nefarious. But 6 months behind are the open source solutions, and they'll all be here soon enough.
That's right.
And so buckle up, I guess.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Did you have anything you want to talk about, or shall I get into our
topics move on.
For the day? All right.
Let's get into the topics.
Okay. This is a long thread, and there's a number of directions we can go with this. But let me read it and then you can decide where we go with it. My boyfriend promised we would go again. He instead flipped over and went on TikTok. I don't know if I have to censor stuff, so I'm just going to. My boyfriend finishes within like 20 seconds of us going all the way. That's her way of saying having sex. Then he flips over and goes on TikTok when we're done, not caring if I finish. I don't know what's going on, but we haven't gone all the way in like a week. Finally, yesterday, we were making out and I thought we would. He asked me to give him head, so I did, even though he never does for me. He said he was about to finish, so I said we should stop so we can actually do the full thing. He said, no, just finish giving me head. I'll finish and we can go again in 5 minutes. I told him that he does this literally every time. Twice now he has finished from head, then says we will go again, and he just turns around and goes on TikTok. So I told him. I told him I know him and he will just literally go back on TikTok. So we have kind of a rule where we only pinky promise if we are telling the truth 100%. And he pinky promised me that after I finished giving him head, we would go another round. So I give him head till he finishes, then I get him a washcloth to clean himself up. She gets him a washcloth. He says, actually, you were right. I'm pretty tired.
So wait, hang on. I just want to make sure I understand this. So she gives him head and then she gets him a washcloth to clean up.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm assuming she, well, there's
clean
some
up
question
what?
Is, right. There's some question as where the semen went here, but okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe her saliva irritates his fragile penis.
Right.
Sensitive penis later. But okay, all right.
I mean, nevertheless, he could probably... In any case, all right. Let's see here. So I give him head. Yeah, right.
Sorry. Says, yeah,
actually, you were right. I am pretty tired. I asked him if he was serious. I laughed and said, yeah, okay, sure. And he said he meant it. I asked if he pinky promised. He said yes. So I get pissed off, roll over, push his arms off me and tell him goodnight. Then he claims he was just joking and was gonna do it before I, quote, freaked out on him and started, quote, being crabby. And besides, he brings
stop
up
being a bitch.
He brings up that he didn't actually use his pinky to promise. He just said he did. I told him I know he's lying and he should just be honest. I knew he was lying because it happens every time. I asked him if he actually wants to go to sleep. He says, kinda. So I flip over once again and don't engage with him. He goes on TikTok for another hour. He says he feels like I'm really mad at him. I tell him I am mad, and I don't have anything to say to him right now. I turned off my location sharing because he doesn't even share his with me. This morning, he tried to tell me he loved me before he went to work. I just ignored him. He texted me good morning as well, like 5 hours ago, and I just have not responded to him. I don't even want to. What would I even say? Am I in the wrong if I just don't talk to him for a while and don't respond? He knows why I'm mad, I'm pretty sure. And I told him yesterday I got literally nothing out of giving him head if he just wanted to flip over and go on TikTok. Also, when was he, quote, so tired? He went on TikTok for an hour after he finished. Advice. Okay. There's an edit, and maybe we'll get to that. But there's a number of directions we can go here. First is the thing that I always notice in these things, which is here's yet another woman that clearly doesn't want to be giving blowjobs. We've explored that so much that we don't need
to. It's not that. I don't agree with you. I mean, she's not mad that that happened.
All right. At least she's describing it as getting literally nothing. She uses those exact words. But I understand.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I know what your counter argument would be. We don't have to get into it.
If the entire sexual act for the woman is just sucking a guy's cock every time,
right.
That's not going to satisfy her. So, yeah, I agree.
We could talk about, you know, TikTok generation and how it's just so addictive and people can't, you know.
There's a number of things here. Look, I mean, the location sharing thing.
This location sharing thing that, like, men insist on their partners doing is.
I can drop a Taylor Swift reference. How will she know if he goes to the Black Dog?
That reference whooshed over my head. Can you describe it to me and our other?
No, I won't. Okay. No, nobody wants to hear about it. Okay. But the expectations around, I mean, like, he's obviously addicted to TikTok, blah, blah, blah. But I actually think the most, and the expectations around location sharing are kind of insane. They're not, mm-hmm. That's like the mediating your social interactions through digital devices is definitely the way to unhappiness. The whole, this whole thing is definitely not like, look, you're not, the human mind is not set up to behave this way. But the core thing here that's bizarre is, the core thing that's interesting to me is how this is, I think, representative of women's tolerance for like insane behavior once, you know, the guy comes, as Nikki Glaser would say. Right. So presumably there was a time in their relationship when he was wooing her on his best behavior, but something happened. I don't know. Yeah. For you, what do you consider that point to be when it goes in?
Yeah. I mean, that she tolerates this at all, that she's at all confused about whether this is bad behavior on his part is sort of astounding to me. I mean, she must be young. I mean, she calls having sex going all the way. And
I kind of like that. It's funny.
Her vernacular and the way that she thinks that pinky promises are legally binding and like just so much about the way this is written is implies that she is at best early 20s.
Sure.
But in any case, that she tolerates this is just he sounds like basically a loser in every possible sense. Like, what is she doing?
Well, but I mean, what is
she like?
But
go ahead.
This is just a version of the power changing hands when some switch flips in the woman's head, right? And I mean, the Nikki Glaser thing is or like the thing that she's postulated in her comedy is this happens because when the guy comes inside you, your brain now thinks you're pregnant by him. So basically as a woman, you're like, oh, now that's it. I'm possessed by this man. And you've told me before that there's something like this that you've experienced with women, right? Where like there's a moment when you like palpably can feel that the power has shifted in the relationship, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, that moment being what?
I'm not sure what it is. I mean, you joked that it's like, yeah, like as the penis like penetrates the vagina for the first time. That's an interesting thought.
Right. And maybe if you're wearing a condom, it doesn't matter. I wonder, does this happen when you nut on her comforter under in doggy style? When you pull out that first encounter?
They're never going to let me live that down.
But... yeah, but it might not. It might actually not engage it. My suspicion is that it does. My suspicion is that having a penis go in your vagina engages it, basically, because you're this part of the mind, the brain, is very simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She seems to be confused about refractory period as well. Like, she's like, oh, well, if he's on TikTok, then he can't have been that tired. And it's like, well... there's being able to have sex again. There's being willing to hold up your end of the bargain even after you've orgasmed, which is a topic we've discussed.
Right.
He's not willing to do any of it. Specifically, like not being able to penetrate her right after she finishes blowing him to completion is not necessarily a red flag.
Yeah, but an hour of TikTok is just... I can't... That must... Oh, God. It's hard for me to even imagine.
Right. I mean, like, they're in bed together. He's rolling
TikTok-ing.
Over. He's pulling out his phone and then like refusing to talk to her. Is she in her edit? She points out something that's kind of funny because I didn't read all the comments, but the edit says what one of the comments must have said. I also want to point out that it's not the lack of sex afterwards that bothers me. It's more so that he just turns around and goes on TikTok the rest of the night after having sex. No cuddling, nothing. Once he comes, after 10 seconds, it's done, and I get nothing out of it. And then she goes on, I get that consent can be revoked, and I agree you shouldn't feel pressured. Somebody must have, like, shamed her for pressuring him to have sex. But he consistently tells me he will go again and lies every time. And him deflecting blame onto me is the reason I am so pissed. Yeah, I think she's reasonable to feel this way. It's just that she should break up with him. If he just said he is really sorry but can't go again, I would obviously still be pissed because I just sucked him off for 10 minutes, once again getting absolutely nothing out of the experience. But I would be less pissed.
She should set up her phone on his stomach and watch TikTok while blowing him. He probably wouldn't care, actually. I mean, I actually am relatively certain he wouldn't care. He'd be like, that's
kind of
cool.
Oh, this guy doesn't care about her. He views her as like a mouth sleeve.
Maybe, but I mean, like, there's also this element. I don't know. Let's assume she's doing it too. But I mean, you basically just have two what amount to like heroin or OxyContin addicts together. They're addicted to this. The reason he's doing the TikTok thing is because he's completely fucking addicted to it.
Yes.
So it's like he reaches for it. Yeah.
I mean, compulsively because he can't stop himself.
Well, somebody doing it an hour with a naked chick next to you in bed. I mean, that's what, that, you know, it'd be like, it reminds me of those studies where, I'm going to get this slightly wrong, but they took mice and tried stimulating directly the dopamine system in their brain.
Yeah.
And the mice, like if they pushed a lever or something, and the mice would basically starve themselves to death, right? You'd have food, something like this is a real experiment. They'd have food next to it. And the mouse would just sit there pushing the lever because they're like, this is basically, I can just give myself orgasms all the time.
Yeah.
And I think this is close to that, right? You have a guy with, let's just give her the benefit of the doubt that she's reasonably attractive next to him naked. Like, this is what he's supposed to want. And he's like, nah, what's the next video on TikTok?
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky. He just orgasmed. I mean, look, I don't want to be too sanctimonious here.
Not for an hour.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not sanctimonious at all. I'm saying these kinds of problems are stemming from this like crazy addiction. Like, I feel bad for him.
But specifically in my case, I mean, I spent the better part of the last 2 weeks playing these mobile games that are made to be maximally
it's the same thing.
Addicting. And it's the same thing. I have had TikTok in the past on my phone, and I had it for a couple weeks And at some point I was like, this is bad. I have to get rid of it. Like, I can tell that this is going right. to get its hooks into me. And I know a lot of people that basically do this dance where they install it, they uninstall it, they install it, they uninstall it. And it really is, they really have, I don't know how they got the dials on their addiction engine so perfectly tuned. Maybe they have enough users that it's basically pretty easy to use machine learning to figure out what the right kind of stuff is. But there's more to it than that. There's the content creators, I think, are also learning. But in any case, I think there are large swaths of society, particularly amongst the 25 and under crowd, that sort of unironically have given up on fighting the addiction and will just pull it out and sit in a room and just for hours scroll on this thing. And that's what TikTok is designed to make you want to do. Some of us, particularly maybe people who are older, 25, have like almost an embarrassment reflex where they force themselves to stop. Or maybe the machine learning algorithm doesn't quite work on older people quite as well. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but
there's certainly a lot of media telling. There are strong correlations between these things and depression, anxiety, like this, you know, increases in mental health issues, particularly among younger folks. And it's clearly associated with this sort of stuff. And look, again, a guy lying next to a naked chick who wants him to fuck her, not wanting to do that. And he's young.
Yeah.
Is strongly suggestive of a problem. Okay. Notwithstanding the refractory period, but I mean, you know, 30 minutes later.
I mean, he was able to.
It would be really reasonable to like want to do something for 10 minutes.
I guess. I mean, he was definitely able to put it down long enough to get the blowjob. Although, to her point, he only lasts 10 seconds. Got to get back to that TikTok, man. You think TikTok's going to surf itself?
They you know, another, you mentioned SSRIs. People get prescribed SSRIs for premature ejaculation. So you could look into that because it slows down. It makes ejaculation take longer.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, it messes up with arousal, period.
Yeah. I forgot to actually, during our banter segment, I forgot to bring up blood tests. Do you ever go get like blood tests at Quest or LabCorp to like see what your levels are?
No. My sister is an MD and my brother-in-law is too.
They told you that's a waste of time.
Yeah, they're really quite anti-diagnostic medicine because so much of it leads to like people panicking about stuff that there's no differential outcome for. You know, like the classic example is they'll do an x-ray of your lungs and they'll see like a couple spots on there. And it's like, well, we don't know exactly what these are. We can go in and do a surgical biopsy of the inside of your lung. But the complications from that surgery are risk than the probability that those things are actually cancerous.
Interesting.
So getting the diagnostic medicine done in the first place actually is worse than not getting it done because it causes people to do sort of insane things. And diagnostic medicine is expensive, it's time consuming, and it often leads to worse health outcomes on average. They're fairly discouraging of it. And because naturally I would rather not go through the trouble, I just haven't done it. But yeah, tell me about yours.
Oh no. Well, the reason why I asked is because I was completely unaware of this industry. Now it reminds me of Theranos a little bit, like the promise of Theranos before Lizzie went to prison.
She's going to get out. They just shortened her term again.
They did.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I mean, look, honestly,
she's not getting out anytime soon, but it's
who gives a shit. I
Lizzie,
they had Amanda Seyfried play her in the biopic. So I have a certain crush on her now because of that.
We had a coworker, old coworker who had a big thing for her. For Amanda Seyfried.
That's right. We did. Okay,
I like her. I like Elizabeth Holmes less. I didn't find Elizabeth Holmes sexualizable in the way that I think a lot of people must have been to justify all that hate for her.
Yeah, that's I agree with that. Yes,
if she looked like Amanda Seyfried, I would much more understand the amount of like interest there is in Elizabeth Holmes.
Agreed. But she was targeting like 80-year-old men, so.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Anyway, you can go to Quest Diagnostics online now and order up like a diagnostic tests. Okay. I did not do this. I had them ordered by a doctor.
Okay.
But I became aware of this.
But you can do
it.
You can do it a la carte yourself and just go.
You can. I became aware of this because all of these systems now have, like the last time I'd had blood work done was like 10 years ago. And back then they would give you a piece of paper, which is amazing. You'd think 10 years ago they would have been online, but whatever. Mm. Now it's all completely delivered online. And yeah, you can absolutely go and like do these various tests. And like all my tests came back normal. But one thing that I thought could be useful is the cholesterol test was like a little high. And it's like, oh, okay, so maybe I'll eat better. Like there's nothing wrong with that kind of diagnostic test, don't you think?
Yeah, that seems useful.
Well, maybe. It's probably meaningless. The doctor said it was meaningless. But still, you see it and you're like, oh, it's like a video game. It's like I could get that number better by like...
There should be research on whether people who find out that they have imperfect cholesterol...
But most people are such assholes. They're just going to, you know...
Whether that foments any kind of positive change.
Most people, it's not going to do anything. And the other thing is that I learned after getting these results and talking to some folks that like there's imperfect cholesterol and then there's like... Apparently, there's people with genetic traits that cause them to have preposterously high cholesterol, that sucks. So then they go on medications and stuff like that. And I'm lucky enough not to have that. But that's one, I don't know, you're very like quantified. So I could have imagined you being like, oh yeah, I go to Quest Diagnostics every 6 months and get my blah, blah, blah tested. I had no idea.
It makes me nervous that I haven't basically seen a doctor in 30 years. I had a general checkup was in high school. I think in high school you're like required to, or I was required to be on the tennis team or something.
You've had vaccinations and stuff, right? Like for example, they hit me, I had this doctor's appointment and they hit me with, and the reason, yeah, I mean, I got all these because like, and I've done this before, I was feeling anxious a lot. And so I wanted to see like, there can be thyroid condition stuff. You want to check everything and everything came back normal. Anyway, they hit me with a tetanus shot. Which is still hurts, man.
Yeah,
it's like 4 or 5 days.
That
you just go to like you just go somewhere and get the tetanus shot. You
correct.
Just manage that yourself. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I had a. I wonder. Okay, I'm going to tell this story and then we can edit it out.
At some point, you do want to hang on. At some point, you do want to have like blood work just as a baseline, so that you know what it was like before you got old.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's a normal thing to want, but you know, right. So you can see like, you can track some deltas from it.
I'm going to ask my sister again, this conversation has spurred me. And then you should ask your dad as well, so that we have opinions from different doctors here. And then we can
ask, well, my dad will just say, why are you asking me? Fuck off.
No, say like, what does he think would be useful to know for comparison's sake, if anything?
A standard metabolic panel.
Okay.
I already asked him that.
Yeah. Okay. And that's
PSA,
what he said.
PSA, for a man, the prostate thing is useful.
Okay.
But yeah, you just go to a doctor and there's like a standard set of shit they'll pull. You'll be healthy and it'll be fine, but then you have it. And now it's all electronic. So it's cool. You can then compare
right.
it 10 years from now or whatever.
Right. Right.
Anyway, what's the thing you were going to consider editing out? That's always fun.
Oh. Yeah. I was doing some international travel last summer and I was going to West Africa. So I needed a yellow fever vaccine. Hmm. And I also wanted to get the latest COVID I think at the time it was the bivalent vaccine. And I wasn't allowed to get the COVID vaccine because it hadn't been approved for people under 60 or non-immunocompromised people.
So you lied.
So... Yeah, I lied. I told them that I had arthritis and I had early onset arthritis and I was on a medication that made me immunocompromised because apparently the way to fight early onset arthritis is to take a medicine that makes your immune system less sensitive, which...
Look, this isn't embarrassing at all. The original COVID vaccine I got by becoming an Uber Eats driver.
Right.
So then I was an essential worker and people can fuck off. Like, I wanted that vaccine.
Yes. I've had 7 COVID vaccines.
I wasn't like first in line, by the way. I got it when they were like doing it at the Coliseum. Like there was 10, I waited. I wasn't like a complete asshole about it, but like,
yeah, I think the thing
once it was clear, there were enough vaccines.
I think the thing that convinced both of us that it was worth lying to get it was that they said that they were throwing vaccines away at the end of the day because they weren't using all the capacity.
That's right.
So it was like,
I waited for that. I waited. I wasn't jumping in front of like a 90-year-old. Like, come on.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I've had to lie to get 6 of my 7 vaccines.
Yeah.
Because
7.
Yeah. And I would have had more, except I finally actually got COVID. Anyway, so I told them that, so the way to fight early onset arthritis is to take something that makes your immune system less sensitive, which
makes sense.
In effect makes you immunocompromised. And so they gave me the COVID vaccine, and then I needed the yellow fever vaccine, but they wouldn't give it to me because to get the yellow fever vaccine, you can't be immunocompromised. So I was at the Walgreens and as soon as they like basically finished with the plunger, putting the COVID one in my arm, I was like, okay, so I lied about being immunocompromised. I'm not on that medicine. Can I please have the yellow fever vaccine now? And she was like,
that's awesome. Of course,
she was like, of course I knew you were lying. I was like, yeah, I wasn't trying to be subtle. And she was like, no, you were not. And I said, well, can you give it to me now? And she was like, actually, I can't. The way that things are coded in our computer, it like actually won't let me give it to you.
Okay.
And she was like, and I'm not willing to like lose my job over this.
There isn't a code in the computer for customer admitted to lying.
Correct. Exactly. And so then she was actually great. She was like, but there is another Walgreens just down the street. I actually made you an appointment there. She was like, so you could just go down there, they're expecting you. And I was like, wow, thank you, that was really
well,
nice
at least they're getting paid, they're getting paid their business, whatever.
Yeah, like, she doesn't care anyway. I don't know if revealing this is a federal offense or anything, so we can decide whether we need to edit this out. I think we're good though. Look, and
you
hypothetically
told the truth,
I did this.
Yeah, someone who's not me did this.
Yeah, haha, we were just kidding, we were telling it in the first person because it's better to tell stories that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another blowjob question. This is for men who regularly get blowjobs. Whose partners regularly give head? Do you have to ask most of the time, or do they pleasure you on their own initiative? My fiance does not do it unless I ask. I don't like to ask, but my female friend says it's normal to. Interested in seeing what the consensus is. Okay, so I have my experience, and my experience is that people always want to blow me. And that I never have to ask. It's like a natural thing that they want to do, usually before penetrative sex occurs. But I'm pretty weird about it. Like, I don't think I've ever requested a blowjob. And so it could be the case that because I'm never requesting it, it's making women get like blowjob derangement syndrome, where like they're much more...
Sure.
Likely to ask. So I wanted to ask you, someone who has been a blowjob appreciator for much longer than I have, is your experience that you normally have to ask, or like sort of insinuate their head down there? You know, we've all seen the thing where like the frat boys are like sort of guiding the woman's head down to that area. Like, how does the average blowjob get suggested or initiated?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's typically verbal. So I think that it's, and this is one of the reasons why consent culture is complicated, is that it's much more typical for these kinds of conversations to happen physically than it is verbally. I also think that the kind of guiding the head thing is, it's possible, but I think that's like, I'm not sure. My impression would be that's less common. And the reason why is that there's some kind of a meme or typical expression that you see, particularly like in movies and stuff like that, or even in porn, but more in movie, like in normal movies, where the guy is not going to interact with his own junk. I remember in high school being really reluctant to like touch my own penis in front of my girlfriend. And I think it was because of this kind of cultural vibe that I'd picked up, that like guys don't do that because it's like implying masturbating or something. So the point being that I think it's much more common for a guy to just like maneuver his penis to her mouth. Right. So it just depends on exactly what position you're in, like where your bodies are.
But even if you're maneuvering the penis toward the mouth, that's sort of non-consensual, right? Like that implies you're...
Well, she can reject the maneuvering.
That's right. I guess it's a nonverbal way of asking for consent or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, what I was saying with consent is that it's tricky because most consent is sort of done nonverbally. And if you insist everything be verbal, it's just not realistic. That will never happen. It will never happen that most stuff will happen verbally.
It's not your experience.
It will take a lot of the moment.
Is it your experience or expectation that a woman will decline the suggestion very often?
I've had that happen. Sure. Yeah. Huh. I mean, it's right. I would say it's not like the most common thing. I think it's more common for a woman to reject is not the right word, but to have suspicions around the semen part. That I've seen more variety of reactions to than just oral in general, which makes sense to me because most women want oral performed on them to some extent. But like the semen thing is like, that's touchier.
Right.
Have you experienced that to be touchier? You're saying that like this blowjob derangement syndrome, does this extend to them like being like, look, man, I have to taste that Keith sperm. Does it go? I mean, are they upset if they can't swallow your cum?
I don't think I've seen like a spitter since high school or something. this thing where people are hesitant to. Like afraid of semen, I think is.
Okay, but you understand, this is more of like a positive take on it. Like when they are upset at you because you're not requesting a blowjob, you're not letting them blow you, whatever, are they satisfied in that situation just by putting your penis in their mouth for a little while? Or is it like, look, what I really want is I want to feel that semen pumping in my mouth.
I think what they really want is for the load. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some that sort of like, there's some sort of like intimacy, some sort of agency that they have, some sort of sense of a job well done, maybe. I'm not sure exactly, but.
Well, think about it this way. It's
feels
more
unfinished, I think.
When, you know, in Seinfeld, there's an episode where Elaine is complaining. She's trying to turn a gay man straight. And she talks about how women only have access to the equipment a couple hours a week on a good week.
Right.
And then Jerry says, look, that's why their team loses so few members.
Right.
That's not why, but it's a funny joke.
Yeah.
But when you're doing PIV sex, like she doesn't really have access to the equipment. You know what I mean? Like you're like,
yeah,
it's sort of separated from the parts of her body that have more conscious control over what's going on. So her hands, her mouth, her face, her,
yeah.
I guess if you're one of those weirdos, her feet. God, I get so tired of those people who want foot job porn.
Yeah.
Foot jobs are so stupid.
I'm always annoyed because it makes it obvious how fake everything is.
And... yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is the thing. Anytime you add a foot job scene.
Yeah.
It's just, and I know why it's there, blah, blah, blah. And I don't understand. I don't know where the foot job thing. I have this suspicion because there's this thing in certain countries where if you like show the bottom of your shoe to someone, it's like an insult. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So like the bottoms of people's feet are considered dirty or unclean. So yeah. I have the suspicion that like the foot fetish thing relates to that somehow. It's like,
it's like some
use
sort
the
of
unclean
forbidden
part of your body on me.
Yeah.
But it, as an American man, it just, or whatever, I know there are foot fetishes in the U.S., but I think that it just makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
What they're going for there.
When women are doing a calculus about whether or not they want to give a blowjob, are they doing some sort of like scorekeeping Do they have like some intuition about when the man has earned, quote unquote, a blowjob in their mind? Or like how?
It's a good question.
Like what's going on there?
What I've always, and I think this comes from something like Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I know women hate that book. Probably nowadays, people don't even know what that book is because it's from like the 90s. Anyway, the claim, I think it was in that book, was that men scorekeep much more than women. And that women, it's like they're giving, and then like something breaks and they just, that's it. So that would, if you believe that, that would suggest they do not scorekeep and decide when the guy deserves a blowjob. They're like sort of either willing to do it or not in general, which has been my experience generally in life, that women don't seem to want to like say, oh, you did the dishes, here's a blowjob. That doesn't seem to be a thing.
Yeah. Maybe it's because they're always so far ahead in the score that, you know.
What
like
do you mean
men,
by ahead?
Oh, men think if they do the dishes once, right? But
oh, sure.
Suddenly it's time for anal. And women are like, wait, what the fuck? Like, I've been doing everything always. Like, what? Like, there's no point in them scorekeeping because...
Well, that's not... I mean, yeah. It's like their whole, like, TikTok... accounts dedicated to this. That's not exactly right, because although this is changing, like men are basically giving up in our society.
Yeah.
But historically, men, you know, would have earned the money and stuff like that. But yeah, look, there, that belief structure, and maybe just men being shitheads, I'm not sure, is leading to men doing nothing. That's true. Like
right.
Our young man who rolled over and did TikTok. Like that's
right.
He's like the great Apollo getting off his chariot and giving up. It's like, yeah. Fuck it.
I mean, there's certainly no need for her to scorekeep because the score is 10 million to zero. All right, let's do one last topic. This person wonders, how does it feel to have vaginal sex? Hi, Reddit. I'm a 30-year-old straight man. I've been living for 3 years with my girlfriend, who is a trans woman, and who is also the only person with whom I have had sexual relations. Obviously, right. I have never done it vaginally. I would like to know if it is very different from anal sex or if it is a very different experience from the sex I am used to. Thanks for
yes,
the answer.
Yes, it's very different. People are probably going to say, no, it's the same. They're going to be nice. They're going to like sort of.
Would you hypothetically be interested in having sex with a post-op trans woman?
Not really. I'm not a big body modification person generally. Like I don't. I'm not interested in breast implants either, or Brazilian butt lifts.
Right. Yeah, me neither.
Amputees.
I assume all of those things are less satisfying than the natural thing.
But I don't know. I mean,
that
look,
is
I'm
my
sure
intuition,
there's...
but it might not be right. Like it could be. Like okay, I have experienced fake breasts, and I am yet to come across a pair that's better than real ones. But maybe. I don't even know. I haven't done nearly as much research on this as you probably have. Like, what do they do? What is the operation for post-op trans women?
Oh,
we gotta be careful not to get canceled here. But
yeah, they invert your penis, basically. I mean, they make a hole in there. They take the glands, right, the head of the penis, and turn it into a clit. They obviously
How?
Kind of maintain.
Does that
the,
work?
Yeah, you just maintain the nerves. And kind of shrink things down and put it where the clit would go. And then you create an orifice and use the nuts, the scrotum to make a labia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And of course it doesn't work that well because.
Yeah, I was going to say, you make it sound so easy.
Yeah. And I believe that when you put people on female hormones, there's even a certain amount of lubrication that starts happening. Like that skin starts behaving differently or something. Yeah, there are various behaviors that start happening. I know that guys that are on female hormones, they start like making a lot more pre-cum, I think, because that's basically lubrication. I can't remember, but there's things like that happen.
So, I mean, I can imagine it being possible that a surgical vagina feels pretty good.
You realize this person in this question is talking about an anus, though. So there's a ding-dong flapping around
what?
Down there. He's talking about an anus. This is a pre-op trans
no.
person that he's fucking. He said, is it different than an anus? I mean,
it doesn't render your question immaterial,
but like, yeah, that's a pretty different situation. I mean, you've got boobs, a butthole, and a dick flapping around. And then there's this whole question, and I've done some research on this, of, you know, some gay men, when receiving anal, stay hard and some don't.
Yeah.
You know, and that matters, because then, you know, if it's not hard, it's going to be knocking against your nuts, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I, what was your question?
Well, this is, okay, I wanted to read the first comment here.
Okay.
Because I thought it was pretty good, and it might actually be a good time to sign off unless you have anything to say other after it. But all right, here we go. Every hole feels different. Mouths have suction and moving tongues, which feel great. Anuses have intense heat, a tight entrance muscle ring, and a kind of weird, smooth, stretchy feel. And vaginas are like a warm, wet glove that fits you perfectly and you never want to take off. All vaginas feel a bit different in shape, size, stretchiness, but they all have a slippery, textured feel with ridges and lumps called rugae. I don't know that word.
Well, I'd say rugae, I guess.
Yeah, it's R-U-G-A-E.
G-A-E, yeah.
If you look at some of the adverts for male masturbation toys where they show the inside, you can see that they are trying to approximate the same texture feel. Some women have a small entrance, but a large vagina, and some are the other way around. You never know until you put it in. Okay. When you first slide in, usually the woman is a little tight, but when they get excited, they relax more and the vagina can feel more mushy. Some women need a little lube and some are naturally as wet as the Nile. Sometimes if it's too wet, you lose sensation, but too dry hurts both of you. The absolute best thing about vaginas compared to anuses is the muscles. A woman can grip you all along the shaft of your cock, and if she's experienced, she can almost milk you inside her. It's indescribable, and I've never had anal or oral sex that came close to it. I don't know if I agree with all of his descriptions there, but that's
right. I don't agree with the anus thing.
Yeah. But he is right that vaginal sex is quite different than anal and oral.
Sure. I just don't know about the intense heat of the anus.
I don't think that's materially different than a vagina.
Right.
I think sometimes when you use lube, everything feels a bit warmer. And so maybe that's what, maybe he's getting confused with that. Look, if I were a straight man and I had only had sex with a trans woman, I think I would be pretty curious about how a vagina feels too.
Or you'd be gay.
Yes, but the comments on this got blocked after like about 4 seconds, of course, because
of this argument.
Yeah, everyone wants to basically.
Well, it's a fair question. I mean, is he really hetero? Which
I
think is something
that
people could do.
You're welcome to.
I know, but it's something people could do, like soul searching about. Like,
yeah.
I mean, maybe you don't want to have sex with a vagina, which is fine.
Right.
That's it.
All right. You have anything else?
Nope.
All right. Let's wrap this up. That'll do it for this episode of Your Mileage May Vary. You can send us feedback or questions to ymmvpod@gmail.com. If you send us feedback, we will pay you 10 whole dollars just for the blessing of your feedback. Again, that's ymmvpod@gmail.com. If you ask us a question, let us know if you'd like us to not use it on air, and we won't. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week on Your Mileage May Vary. Je veux et je viens.